Psalm 121. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Psalm 121, beginning in verse number 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, as we look into your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit would enlighten us. Lord, help us to learn and grow this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, a whole lot depends on how you look at things. You've all heard the old saw about the glass half full or half empty. Are you an optimist or a pessimist? Well, when we look at the scriptures, there isn't really a whole lot of room for pessimism, but still, we have that old nature to contend with, don't we? And as far as the old nature is concerned, the glass is probably half empty. But as far as the scripture is concerned, the glass is full to overflowing and nothing less. Now, the psalmist says something here in verse number 1 that will compare to something in Jeremiah in just a moment. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill from whence cometh my help. Well, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 3 and see that we could look at the same thing in a different way, because we have a different point of view. Jeremiah chapter 3, in verse number 23. Jeremiah chapter 3, and verse number 23. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Now, it almost looks like the scripture contradicts itself there, doesn't it? Until you take into account that there's two different points of view. What was the temple built on geographically? A mountain. Yeah, a hill. So, if you were looking to that hill, would you say that maybe the psalmist had it just about right? Jeremiah is talking about something else. Where did the heathens set up their groves with their idols?
On the high places,
on the hills. Jeremiah says, well, you'd be looking in vain if you're looking to the hills for help. It's a different point of view, which is the idea of what we'll go into this morning. How do you look at things? The way that you look at things is going to color how you think and how you feel. Well, let's start in Genesis chapter 13, shall we? Point of view. What is your point of view? Genesis chapter 13, and we'll start reading in verse number 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed for ever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and there built an altar unto the Lord. Here are two individuals looking at two different things. Let's pause just for a moment and see what a point of view can do. First, we have Lot. Now, Lot and Abram part company at this place. And if you look at verse number 7, you can see what led up to this state of affairs. Verse number 7 says, there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Do you think Abram has a pretty good point of view? His relationship with Lot was more important than the cattle. That's the way he's looking at this matter. Verse number 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I'll go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. You can have first choice, Lot, because you're more important than I am. That's a good point of view, don't you think? Well, let's see what that leads out to. Verse number 10, where we started reading. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Oops. Even as the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt. Oops. As thou comest unto Zoar. Awesome choice, Lot. It all depends on your point of view. What was important in Lot's eyes? His wealth and his cattle. And he was going to look out for all his earthly possessions because they were more important to him than Uncle Abram. Sodom and Gomorrah? Egypt? Oh, well. Maybe Sodom was a good town in those days. Well, no, because verse number 13 says, for the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. I'm sure Lot had never heard that. Word traveled slow in those days. He obviously didn't know he was walking into a trap. Oh, well, maybe his point of view was, it's not a trap. It's an opportunity. Verse number 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves, the one from the other. Now, do you suppose that Lot knew Abram's history? Of course he did. We're talking about his uncle here. Do Do you suppose that Lot knew why it was that Abram wasn't back in Ur of the Chaldees? I suspect so. Do you suppose that Lot was well acquainted with the fact that Abram had the blessing of God? Of course he would have. Do you think that that colored his point of view? No. What colored his point of view is in verse number 10. He lifted up his eyes. What does the scripture have to say about lust? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Verse number 12. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Interesting. Pitched his tent toward Sodom. Which direction do you figure he was headed? Yeah, it certainly seems that way, doesn't it? Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. He didn't say it before. He said it after that Lot was separated from him. That's interesting. Lift up now thine eyes. The Lord tells Abram to lift up his eyes. Now, there is something in the scripture about the lust of the eyes. Notice that Lot lifted up his eyes and looked. Abram lifts up his eyes and looked. And God even encourages Abram. Did he encourage Lot? No. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look to the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. You can look in any direction that you like, and I'm going to give it all to you and to your seed that comes after you, and they'll be numbered as the dust of the earth, which means they can't be numbered. And so Abram removes his tent in verse number 18 and comes and dwells in the plains of Mamre, which is Hebron, of which you'll read a whole lot about as you continue in your study through the Old Testament. So you can see there's a difference in the point of view. Lot looked toward Sodom, and he became entangled in Sodom. He couldn't see its destruction from his point of view. Do you suppose that Lot knew that God would not tolerate evil and that he would judge it? And yet, here he goes with abandon. He should have known better. And I think we could say that he did know better, but from his point of view, I'm special. I can get away with this. Well, we find out that, no, you can't get away with it, but God still knows who's his. And he knows how to even keep his people in a place of ungodliness under his protection. And we wouldn't know that if Peter hadn't said something in the New Testament, would we? Something else concerning our point of view. Let's go to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Something else. The way we look at things is pretty important, isn't it? Are we going to look where God tells us to look, like Abram did? Numbers 13 and verse number 28. Numbers 13 and verse number 28. As they prepare to come in to that land which God had promised Abram. Well, they sent in spies. And in verse number 28, we get the part of the report anyway. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And we there saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Can you see two different points of view here concerning a matter? First of all, we have Caleb. Do you think Caleb is looking at the situation a little bit different than what the rest of the spies were looking at? Of course they were. But what colored their point of view? What caused them to look at the situation in one way, and what caused the other bunch to look at the situation in just the other way? Well, yes, exactly right. Just like Abram before them, when God said, "Now, Abram, look up, lift up your eyes and see what I see," Abram saw it, and he believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. It was the way that he looked at it. He looked with the eyes of God. He looked in accordance with the promises of God because he believed God. Well, many years have gone by now. The children of Israel are getting ready to come in to the land, and so they send in spies to spy out the land, and they bring back a report. Well, it's true in verse 28. The people were strong. Caleb doesn't deny that. Yes, they're strong. The cities are walled. Yeah, they sure were. I think Jericho had a wall around it, didn't it? Yeah, I think I read that someplace. And they're very great. Big cities, not little towns that might easily be overrun, but these are great cities, powerful cities. What else? Well, there's the children of Anak, those giants. Well, they're there, and they don't want us there. Yeah, that's true. They are there. And in verse number 30, we see Caleb saying, "Let's cut the discussion here. There really isn't anything to talk about. We all know that God promised this land unto our great grandfather Abram, who became Abraham, the father of the faithful. We know that God has kept his promise in bringing us to this place after these wilderness wanderings. God has never let us down. Don't you remember all the things that he did down in the land of Egypt to deliver us out of the hands of Pharaoh? To deliver us out of the hands of the world? You do remember those things, don't you? What is there to discuss?" In verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Before Moses. Isn't that interesting? Caleb speaks up right there in front of Moses and all the people and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." What place do you suppose Moses has here since he's been brought up?
That he agreed with or he relied on?
Mm-hmm. What function did Moses perform before? He was their leader and their judge, wasn't he? Sure. So, do you think we see a little bit of a court of judgment sitting here? On the one side, you have Caleb. On the other side, you have all of the other spies. Well, not Joshua. And here's Moses, sitting at the bench. Caleb says, let us go up at once. There's no problem at all, because who can stand against the Lord? That was his point of view. Hey, what does Caleb mean? What's the most faithful friend you'll ever have? That's all furry and has a nose on one end and a tail on the other. Not a hedgehog. See what point of view can do? Glad we can draw the message right out of the congregation. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, what's more faithful? Well, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, my point of view is we can go in and take this place right now. Verse 31, but the men that went up with him. Isn't it interesting that they went with him, and yet we have two divergent points of view here? But the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. What were they really saying? Yeah, they are stronger than God. That's what they were really saying. That was their point of view. And not only that, in verse 32, they bring up an evil report of the land which they'd searched. Now, they had gone in there, and they'd searched it out. And what did they see?
Well, they found it was good. It was a good
one. Well, not according to their point of view in verse 32.
Well, that's on them. But
yeah, but that's what we're talking about here. It's all in how you look at it. Is the glass half full, or is the glass half empty, or is the glass full to overflowing? I think Caleb said it's overflowing, didn't he? That was his point of view. What's this point of view? Well, this land eats up the inhabitants thereof. How did they get that out of the grapes of Eshcol? But it colored what they actually thought. Do you think they're actually saying something here that they don't believe themselves? That they're not really thinking? Well, yeah. In either case, it's a difference without a distinction. Sure. This land eats up the inhabitants.
Did they mean, when they say eat them up, does that mean that it wears them out? Or it causes them immorality to go into immorality?
No, I think what they're saying is, we be scared.
Okay.
Yeah. If we go in there, this place will eat us alive.
Haven't they already gone through
it? Well, you know, they're really hard lessons to be learned by people that don't learn lessons very well. And then there's verse 33, those giants, the son of Anak. We have to look out for them. Those people are dangerous. I'm sure that's what David thought. Man, you guys had better break off this battle. We better scatter to the four winds, because look at that Goliath dude down there. Nobody would dare go up against him. Oh, wait, I'll bet he had the spirit of Caleb in him. He might look big, but watch him fall. When he runs in to the voice and power of God, he can't stand. And what was going on? All of his brethren said, you can't go up there. Not only will he kill you, he'll come upon us and kill us too. We're scared. We don't know what to do. Fear. Fear makes people do crazy things. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 40. We're as grasshoppers. Doesn't the scripture say little as much? If God be in it, they were little. But didn't Paul long after them say, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong? What was Paul saying? When I look at things the way God looks at things, and I let God lead, I'm invincible. That's when I'm weak. But it's only when I'm weak that I'm strong. Isaiah chapter 40, then, in verse 21. Isaiah chapter 40, and verse number 21. Have ye not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Told you she was round. And the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. The inhabitants of the earth are grasshoppers? Why, I guess it does matter how you look at something, doesn't it? Wow. Verse 23, that bringeth the princes to nothing, and maketh the judges of the earth as vanity? Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom, then, will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Does this sound like the way Caleb saw things? Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, and bringeth them out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Lift up your eyes on high. I believe that's what Abram did, and Lot kind of looked down in the plain towards Sodom. I think the scripture uses the words going down to Sodom. Ha! Verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This is a different point of view than those spies had. This is a different point of view than Lot had. It all depends on how you look at things, doesn't it? If you look at it from God's point of view, it looks a whole lot different than if you look at it from fallen man's point of view. And by the way, which one rules? Yeah, I should say so. Well, our time is gone for this morning. We'll have to finish this up. But I think the point is taken. Isn't this just as modern as today? Aren't people today just like they were then? And especially Christians? Isn't it easy to look out on the land and look at it in one way, that there's no hope? And yet look at it another way and say there's coming a time when all this will pass away, and there's coming a time when he'll wipe away every tear, and there'll be no more crying and sorrow, for the former things have passed away. And if you're looking at it that way, then all the vagaries of this world are not going to bother us very much, because in the end, they don't really matter. Did Abram live long enough to see the days of David? Be careful before you answer. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we do thank you this morning for your wonderful word. Lord, we thank you that it teaches us, it admonishes us, and it encourages us as we live again in a precarious time when the days are dark and evil. Lord, it does matter how we look at things, for it'll govern the way that we walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.